Good morning, Freedom Church. Welcome, everyone. Can we give God a great big hand? He is so worthy of our worship, of our praise. If I haven't had the privilege of meeting you yet, my name is Pastor Eric. I'm the lead pastor here at Freedom Church, and we're in this series talking about what the church is. So this week, last week, we talked about it, the next couple weeks, really trying to unpack the why behind the church. Why do we gather? Why are we all here on Sunday morning? What's the point of the church? But also defining and giving definition to the church. Because see, the church is something so much more than just a weekly habit or religious event. The church is so much more than just buildings or things that we go to, but really it's the living, breathing body of Christ. That we, the people, are the body of Christ, as we saw in the video. We are the church. So really, a better question to ask than what is the church is who is the church? We, the people, are the church, make up the church, not just the building, not just the events, not just the activities, but it's the people who are the church. And we're going to talk more about that as we continue to go. But I want to give you a definition to start off, where we get the word church from. So the word church, and as we know it in the Bible, it's translated from the Greek language primarily in the New Testament to church. It comes from the Greek word ekklesia. So ekklesia, as you read the original manuscripts in Greek, they were saying ekklesia. Every time we see the word church, it's ekklesia. Now, ekklesia is not a religious term in its original context or even in its normal use outside of Christianity, because it's just a word that means gathering or assembly or called out ones. So you're going to have a gathering or assembly of people at the pool, at the gym, at work. It's technically an ecclesia, a gathering or assembly of people, and they're called out for something. Within the church context, the Christian context, we are called out of the world, out from the world, gathered together for God's calling and purposes. That there's a specific reason. We're not called out from the world to avoid the world, but to simply not be in participation with the things of the world. So the church, the ecclesia, when Jesus used this word, his followers at the time of Jewish background, they went to what we call synagogue. There's Jewish people today that still go to synagogue, what we call our church, our building. When he said ecclesia, though, they wouldn't have been thinking he's saying he's going to build a new synagogue. Because they didn't recognize that word with the building, like many of us today, connect church to the building. Instead, ecclesia is a governmental authority or a governmental rule that Jesus, when Jesus says, I'm going to build my church, he says, I'm going to build a new government. I'm going to establish a new authority, a new way of ruling, a new way of doing things that his followers at the time, that's why they thought he was going to overthrow the Roman Empire. They thought he was going to overthrow the political system of the time because he used this word that really does mean a new authority, a new government. But Jesus had a much bigger plan in mind. He was bringing a new kingdom, a new way of living, an eternal kingdom where he rules and reigns, not a political party, not a person, but he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, aside from the church, there's the thing called the universal church. Many people, you may hear this word, the universal church, or what's known as the Catholic church. Now, Catholic church is different in the context and use of the Roman Catholic church. Roman Catholic church is the Latin church. Many of you are familiar with those, the churches that call themselves Roman Catholic. But the Catholic church, in the word from the Greek, Catholicos, it actually is a universal, means universal, which encompasses all Christians, all believers, everyone who follows Jesus, their faith and trust is put in Jesus Christ for all spans all time. So all the way back thousands of years to today and all places, all locations, this makes up the universal church. So the churches in this area, in this state, in our country, all around the globe, the ones who follow Jesus, who preach the gospel of Jesus, the word of God, and follow him, they are part of the universal church. It signifies a global, inclusive body rather than just one local congregation. Now, anybody who says they're part of the universal church, but they don't go to a local church, I don't believe they're fully obeying what God has commanded them to do. That as followers of Jesus, we must be a part of a local congregation. that the Spirit of God leads us and guides us and builds up his local church, which is in essence building up the universal church. This concept doesn't apply anywhere else in life. I mean, think about the United Nations. It's like, I'm going to be a part of the United Nations, but I don't want to belong to any one nation. You couldn't be accepted. That wouldn't make sense. Or I'm going to be a part of the army, but I'm not going to be in a battalion. I'm not going to be in a platoon. I'm not going to be a part of a company. That's called being rogue or going AWOL or being completely in disobedience to what the confines of what the organization is doing. So technically, you can be part of the universal church, meaning you can be saved. You can be going to heaven. You can have your sins forgiven. You can be a follower of Jesus in salvation effort without ever stepping foot in a local church. However, I don't believe we follow the commands of Jesus or can really obey what he's called us to do when we don't get ourselves involved in a local church. Now there's times, there's seasons, you're checking churches out. Maybe you're here checking out Freedom Church for the first time and you're trying to test the waters. That's okay, but at some point, you have to get connected to a local church. You need to be involved with a local body to really obey. And I want to show you, there's so many benefits to being a part of a local church. One of them that Paul talks about in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, in chapter 10, he says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Now, we're pretty good at stirring each other up, but it's supposed to be stirring each other up to love and good works. You know how else you stir each other up? You just make a political post. It doesn't even matter what side. Just pick something. Make a comment about politics. You're going to stir up half the people, right? We stir one another up, but it's supposed to be stirring up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together. Meeting together is not an option. He says, as is the habit of some people stop meeting there. Some don't, they don't put a priority on gathering together. He says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, he uses two times just in these two verses, this phrase of one another, stir up one another and encouraging one another. There are over 50 verses that use that phrase, one another, as instructions or commands to us. It says, encourage one another, love one another, pray for one another, forgive one another, help one another, serve one another. All these verses that, how do we have the one another verses? How do we obey those without other people? So being a rogue Christian is not really a Christian. It's something that we're being selfish or being focused on ourselves rather than doing what the Word of God clearly says dozens of times, to serve, to love, to be involved, to commit to one another. The church really does exist beyond Sunday mornings. It takes more than just a Sunday gathering. This is the main gathering, our corporate gatherings on Sundays. But ultimately, if we're not meeting outside of Sunday with other people, we're not serving one another, sharing meals with one another, we're really missing out on so much more that's offered to Jesus' church. So what is the church? We are the church, right? Who is the church? We are the church. And just throwing out, anybody out there Penn State fans? Sorry, Pitt fans. Anybody Penn State fans? Right? My wife went to Penn State, so we're a little bit of Penn State fans. But what do they say at Penn State? They say, we are Penn State. Right? The chant is, we are Penn State. Instead of Penn State, because something way better than Penn State, is the church, right? So we can say, we are the church. So we're going to practice this. I want some participation, all right? So I'm going to say we are, you say the church. We are
the church.
We are
the church.
We are
the church.
That was a lot easier than I thought it would be. So good job. You guys are so good at this. I'm going to just encourage you. You're so smart. You're so great. Thank you for participating in my fun. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive, but he also said, give as freely as you have been given. What have we been given? What have we received? And I believe there's so many things that we receive that we get as benefits of being a part of a local church. Now, whenever we start to think about what do I get from it, it really gets the focus on ourselves rather than the bigger picture. Like, think about any relationship you've been in, whether you're married, dating, family, work. When we take the posture of what can I get out of this? What can I get from this person? What can that person do for me? That's a toxic relationship. That's selfish. That's self-fulfilling. That's self-satisfying. But yet, so often, We have that same posture with the church. What can the church give me? What can I get from the church? How do I get something from the church? Rather than saying, how do I bless that person? How do I add value to that my family members? How do I help the church? How do I serve the church? How do I contribute in some way? And that makes a healthy, strong, and stable relationship. But we do receive many things from being a part of the church. Four of those that I want to bring up for today. And as we go into these next couple of verses, we talked about Acts chapter 1 in the first part of Acts 2 last Sunday. Today, we're going to look at Acts chapter 2 into Acts chapter 3. I didn't have to think or pray too hard about it. I just read the next text. But we're going to follow through because we're really looking at what is the church, who is the church, and the church provides four, these are four of the things it provides. This provides salvation through Jesus, provides family, provides community, and provides healing. And that's what we see in these next couple passages. And just to recap a little bit, in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, last week we talked about how Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and filled the believers of Jesus. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit comes and fills the believers. There's like tongues of fire resting above their heads. They're speaking in unknown languages, preaching the gospel, sharing with people that they didn't know these languages. Thousands of people are coming to know Jesus. And the people, and Peter gets up and he starts preaching to them. He starts explaining this to them, what's happening. And the people respond with, "Brothers, what shall we do?" They hear the good news, they hear a good teaching, they hear truth, and their response is, "Well, now what? What are we going to do?" And Peter says to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." See, the church, the people, you, are God's plan A for the world. The work that Jesus did for salvation is already done. Jesus did the work. We don't work for salvation. We can't do anything to make somebody be saved. Jesus already did the salvation work on the cross. He was nailed to the cross, lived a perfect, sinless life, was buried and rose from the dead. He already did the work, but he does call us as the church to help other people encounter him, to know him, to point people to him. And people say often that there's no way that there's only one way to heaven. There's no way that only Jesus is the way to heaven. And guess what? If you have a problem with that, you think that's too exclusive, take it up with Jesus. Because Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me." I simply agree with Jesus. Any of you agree with Jesus? If you agree with Jesus, then you believe that the only way to heaven is through him. He said it, not me. I disagree with him. So if you disagree with that, take it up with him. But the church is the best place, I believe the best place, to learn about God, to grow in your faith, and to truly take steps within your salvation. Not to earn salvation, but because of your salvation. As a result of you being saved, your sins are forgiven. God's redeemed you. He's restored you. He's paid the debt that you could never pay. Now you take steps. How you take those steps, I believe they're best done within the church. Second thing church provides is family. Acts 2:42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Now, I grew up in a home that was just chaotic. Anybody else have a chaotic home life? If your parents are in the room, you don't have to raise your hand. They probably have both their hands up because you were the chaos. But I grew up with six of us, five siblings in a home, separated parents. There's just all kinds of chaos. And dinner, sitting down for family dinner just didn't happen, right? Maybe because there were six of us. And we all had different schedules and stuff going on. But the reality is, growing up in an unchurched home or unstable home, I have found that as much as I love my biological family, the church really is my family. You are my family. You're my brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and cousins and all the above. We are the family of God. That within the church, and no matter how bad your biological family was, your upbringing was, or maybe your family life right now is, you can find family within the church. People who love you, care for you, support you, help you follow out all those one another's. Perfect? Absolutely not. But we love each other and we're supposed to love each other like a good family loves each other. But we see the believers, they what they did is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, the apostles' teaching, it's the word of God. The apostles were the ones who walked with Jesus, followed Jesus, were there, they witnessed him, they saw him at post-resurrection. Following the teachings, really, in our context today, means we follow the word of God. We're devoted to the word of God, devoted to fellowship, of spending time together, not just for an hour and a half on Sunday, but throughout the week as well. Like, I help people, I think it's really, we complicate this thing called doing life together. Like, if you're going to eat dinner and I'm going to eat dinner about the same time, what if we ate dinner together? It's like, we could do that? Yes, you can do that. Like, invite people to your home. And so what if it's not clean, it's not perfect? Let's just be real. Let's get over the whole pretending our house is perfect, our kids are perfect, our clothes are perfect. Like, nobody's perfect, right? So let's just be real. I think we break down some of those barriers to really be devoted to the word of God, to the fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, which we call communion, and to prayer. Like, if you want to know how to read the Bible, how to pray, how to be more involved, get around people who are doing it and learning as well. I didn't learn what healthy family was until I started coming to church. Until couples started inviting me into their home, and I saw how they talked to each other. I said, that's new. My parents don't talk to each other like that. And wait, you don't yell and hit the kid first? That's what I grew up with, right? Instead, I got to see healthy family. I got to see healthy relationships, healthy conversations. So within the church, you see and experience family. In the early church, they didn't just fit God in. They built their lives around God. Everything was built around God, their devotion to him, their love for him. They were so committed to one another because they were committed to God first. In verse 43, it says, a deep sense of awe came over them all as they were committed to being together. And then the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place, shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. The early church was deeply connected. Deeply connected. We're in the most disconnected, isolated, lonely time, I believe, in our culture. Yet we have all this technology, all the social media platforms, yet loneliness and isolation is at an all-time reported high. What if we got back to some of the basics? What if we got back to prioritizing the church, prioritizing the people that we're called to do life together with in a local gathering of people, not just surface level, but deeply connected to each other. See, the early church, they carried each other's burdens. It said that there was no need, that they shared and they met needs. They carried each other's financial burdens. They carried each other's commitments. When people have babies, like, it takes more effort from people to help out. And I love that our church does meal trains and helps with people and supports people. When someone's sick, it's like, hey, can I bring you some food? Can I visit you in the hospital? Can I bring you something to help you out? That's exactly what the early church did. They were not the same people. They didn't have the same backgrounds, but what they had was a common unity. They pursued unity. They didn't just love one another in word, but in action as well. And when that happens, when unity in action takes place, the church becomes a family, not just a place. The church becomes a family. But this only happens with intentionality. You never drift into unity. In fact, I believe the fallen state of our world, you drift into division. You drift into fighting and arguing and disagreeing with people. Maybe it's part of our human nature. We just want to disagree with people. So you have to be intentionally focused to make time to meet with people, to take time to be at church, to take time to get your kids to have a play date with other people's kids, right? Make sure to ask the parents first. But having time together takes intentionality. Unity takes intentionality. And when we start to do that, that's when church becomes a family. Not looking at what do I get from it, but how can I help somebody else? Third thing the church provides, community. Very similar to family, but a little bit different variation here. In verse 46, it says, they, the believers of Jesus, they worshiped together at the temple each day. Every day, they said they were going to the temple. They were worshiping together. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, that's communion, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. They spent time together. They worship together. You know what happens on Sunday when we worship together? Is God's word says that he inhabits the praises of his people. I believe his presence is more noticeable. It's more felt. It's not that he's suddenly more present, but he is more noticeably present. He's more tangibly present. That there's a blessing that comes when God's people are worshiping him together. They met in homes, they shared meals, and they did it with great joy and generosity. I was just at a birthday party yesterday, and there was just such joy in the house. There was such life, right? When you go to a birthday party, there's usually a lot of laughter. There's a lot of joy. There's celebration. There's gifts that are given as well. There's a generosity that's involved when people gather together. I'm not saying we have to have a birthday party every day, but what if we gather together with joy and generosity, sharing with one another? You know, worship is one of the best things you can do for your mental health, because we get so focused on all of our problems and our circumstances, and they're valid. You may have very real challenges, very real hardships, but when we worship, what it does is reminds us how big God is and how small our problems are in comparison to how big our God is. Worship changes our mindset. It changes our heart. It can change our posture of how we look at and view the rest of the world. Because God is so good. He's so faithful. He's so trusting. Why do I worry? Why do I stress? That last song we sang, that peace, be still, like speaking to yourself, it's like that's a self song, right? Be still, calm the rage inside of you, calm the sea, calm the storm. I believe God wants to calm some storms inside of your minds today to bring some peace to you. So they worshiped together. They met in homes. They shared meals, praising God all together. There was no time for negativity. There was no time for talks of politics. They were so focused on God and spending time together, they could not fight with one another. I mean, the devil would say that we should be competing with one another. Right, like Freedom Church, we're 8 weeks old, as it's our eighth Sunday services. We should be competing with every other church, right? That's what the devil would want us to do. He wants Christians to fight Christians. And unfortunately, he's been winning in many environments. But I want to let you know, we are so committed to unity of Freedom Church with other churches, ones who are preaching the gospel, who are speaking Jesus, who are really trying to reach people, that even this past week on Monday, I went to Amplify Church for their staff meeting and executive team meeting. Met with Pastor Ed, talked to him, and said, hey, can we just work together? Can we talk together? What can that look like? And we don't know what it looks like. We said, let's just be intentional on building relationships. I was messaging Pastor Dan at Murraysville Alliance Church. They had their Blessing of the Bikes today with bad weather. I don't know if it's still raining. I've been outside in a couple hours, but Blessing of the Bikes. I was like, we're praying for you. We're praying that God would open the skies, that would be dry, they'd have a great turnout, people would get saved, and praying for them. Yet last night, went to Cornerstone for their 6 p.m. Saturday night service and watched dozens of people get baptized and just celebrate the kingdom of God and what God is doing through their church as well. Why is that not normal for more of us to say, like, we're going to build the kingdom of God. God's going to build the kingdom using us. I want to be in unity, focused on the kingdom, not just the name of Freedom Church or my name. I believe God's going to bless that because there's unity. And as Pastor Paul at Cornerstone and Dan and Ed, and we consistently, intentionally put our time together, we say, let's be in unity. Let's pray for one another. Imagine what God could do if dozens of churches in this region really stopped competing and start working together. We'd see tens of thousands of people come to know Jesus. I believe it. I believe people would start finding freedom from drug addiction, from suicide. We'd see people's lives changed and transformed. But it takes an intentionality, not just on the pastors, but on all of us. To really be, let's start with those right in this room. How do we grow closer together? How do we spend time together? Really be in unity, because there's so many people's lives at stake. Fourth thing the church provides is healing. And I want to give you a little context here. So we just read the end of chapter 2, right in the chapter 3 in the book of Acts. Peter and John, they're going to the temple, as they typically do. And outside the temple, there's this man who's lame. He can't work. He's been there for about 40 years, and he's begging for money, which was common in that time. So Peter and John, they're walking by, and this man, he starts to beg for them. He says, hey, can you give me something? And Peter says this in verse 6, Acts 3, verse 6. Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Now, this was something that we read that Jesus did often. Everywhere Jesus went, he touched people, he healed people, he spoke a word, and people were physically healed. He rose Lazarus from the dead, that people were healed, that the not just in Jesus when he walked, but his apostles, his disciples, they would walk and Jesus would heal people through them. That God is a healer. God isn't just something, that's not something he does, it's who he is. It's part of his nature. And these guys, Peter and John, they walk by and they tell this man to get up and walk. Now, what's interesting is they didn't give him what he was asking for. What was he asking for? He was asking for money. He said, will you give me some silver or gold? And they said, we don't have that to give you, but we have something so much more valuable, something so much better. And I believe there's some of you today, you're asking God for the wrong thing. Maybe you're asking God for more money. Maybe you're asking God for some breakthrough. Maybe you're asking him for somebody to be your spouse. And maybe God's saying, that's not the right thing to ask for. I got something better for you. I have something so much more valuable. All you have to do, I think, is shift our focus, shift our prayer to not telling God yes or no request, but say, God, what do you have for me? God, do you have a healing work for me? I believe God still heals. There's no reason why God would have stopped healing because some date change or something happened. God's word is true today as it was before. He's the same God now as he was thousands of years ago. And what's the result of this man getting healed? In verse 8, it says, leaping up, he stood and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, when it wasn't like they stood him up and people say, oh, they're probably like carrying him. Like, read the next couple of verses. You don't leap and jump on ankles and feet that are not able to hold you. He's proving and showing that he has been healed. And all the people saw him, and the people were actually amazed. The next couple of verses said they're astonished. And Peter says, why are you so surprised? Why are you surprised that God healed this man? Now, in my own life, I remember the very first time that I believed in healing, and it was because I received a physical healing. I had a really bad accident. I fell on a ladder and bent my ankle really bad. It was a bad sprain. Doctor said it would have been better if I broke it. It would have healed better. So it didn't heal right. I didn't get proper treatment. I had this massive ball on the side of my ankle, and for years, like 5 years, I limped. I walked with a limp, and it wasn't until I was in worship service where I was worshiping God, and I actually, at the time, I'd be honest, I was like kind of hesitant and less demonstrative in worship, and I felt like a ball of fire went through my foot and all the way up my leg, and my ankle movement came back, and there was no pain, no discomfort, and I could walk fine. I actually walked up on this very stage and jumped off because I was testing it, and thankfully, God healed it, and that was years ago. I've had gallstones. I was having gallstone attacks that were just debilitating me. If you've ever had gallstone attacks, you know how horribly painful that can be. You can't do anything or function for like 30, 45 minutes. I went, got scans. They found two stones in there. They said, the only option is you got to cut them out. So I scheduled the surgery. Went and did all the pre-op stuff, got my esophagus checked, got all that stuff. And right before the surgery, I just really felt like God said, are you not going to trust me to heal you first? I said, okay, I canceled the surgery. That was years ago. I don't know if I still have a gallbladder or not, but I don't have any attacks, no effects. And I go, God healed. God still, I cannot be convinced God does not heal. There's too much evidence objectively I've seen with my high blood pressure gone overnight, real high, prayed down to 120 over 80. Anybody explain that to me? Multiple times where doctors and nurses check things out. That's just my personal stories. I hear so many other stories of people being physically healed. Now, sometimes he heals instantly. Sometimes he doesn't heal. Not in that timing, or maybe there's a different way he wants to do it. I had dental work a couple days ago. I'm like, God, heal me. And he's not doing it instantly. I want him to heal me right now, but maybe he's going to heal me over the next couple weeks, and that's fine. But I've seen too many miraculous healings, hearing story after story, and just met somebody this week. Their child had brain cancer, terminal brain cancer. No hope. Probably have a couple weeks to months. He's 29 years old. He wasn't supposed to make it to his first birthday. They didn't have any other explanation than it's a miracle that God healed this kid. Again, those are story after story. And when I share those, It's not at all to boast about me. I didn't heal anybody. I don't heal myself. God heals. I want to encourage you, inspire you to believe and have a faith that believes God does heal. He wants to heal. And if we give him a chance, even if you prayed 100 times, believe that God wants to heal. Now, I'm going to share a verse. I want to disclaimer this. It's separate from what we're reading in the book of Acts. They're not connected verses. They're just separate accounts. God heals instantaneously. Sometimes he heals without even praying. God can do it miraculously. This is a separate case and a separate thing that I really believe God wanted me to share in James 5:16. James, the writer of this, says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Now, there are times when we are in sin or sinful lifestyles or consistently rebelling against what we know is true to what God wants us to do. And I believe there are effects of those sins that can be sickness, that can be problems, that can be bad circumstances. However, just because you have a sickness or an ailment or bad circumstances does not mean that you are in sin. And many times people have, churches especially, maybe you've unfortunately experienced this, said because you have this bad situation, it must be because you're in sin. I don't believe that at all. Now, we all have some level of sin that we need to consistently repent of. We need to consistently turn towards God from. We need to consistently confess. But I don't believe that God says, well, you've been bad, so here's a sickness. Because there are people who are genuinely seeking God wholeheartedly, trying to live right, doing their best, and they still get cancer. They still get diseases. They still die. Why is that? We live in a fallen world. We live in a world of sin. There is effects of sin. And yes, when we intentionally sin, I believe there's ill effects that are going to happen to us. We're opening ourselves up to things. But this is the solution. One, the first thing, 1 John 1:9 says, when we confess our sins to God, he forgives us of our sins. Here, he says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It's a different kind of healing than the healing that comes from God, but God uses people to heal one another, right? Like he forgives us, but we can receive healing through one another. And I believe God wants to heal you. I believe there's this thing called church hurt that if you're new to church, you might not know about what this is, and thank God. But there's many times where people have been hurt by the church. They've been hurt by a pastor, a priest, a group leader, somebody in ministry, even just people in another church. And we walk around saying that we have church hurt. And I'm not disqualifying that real thing that happened to you, but I want to help you with a different perspective. If you were bullied at school, you do not say you have school hurt. You have a hurt from that person or those people. If you got hurt at work, somebody was mean to you, a boss was abusing you, you don't say you have work hurt and you're never going back. Most of us would like that. But we don't identify the hurt with the place. The church is the only thing that seems that we do that. That yes, that person hurt you, or those people hurt you, but it wasn't the church that hurt you, it was those people. If you experienced abuse, it wasn't everyone, it was that person or those people. And I'm not for an instant saying that anything they did was okay or is right or condoning their actions. It is wrong. Abuse is wrong. Bullying is wrong. Being prideful, judgmental, putting people down is wrong. I can go on the list of things that the pain, the hurt that you felt was wrong. I believe the injustice was true, was valid. But it wasn't the church that hurt you. It was people within the church that hurt you. And opening back up, and I believe God wants to show you, wants to heal you so that you can see the gifts that he's put inside of you, the personality that he's given you, the things that he's given you are to be used for his church and his kingdom. And Satan would like nothing more than to rob the church of your gifts and your abilities.
Say it again.
Satan would want nothing more than to rob you. Thank you. But that's the reality. And I hear it time and time again. And it saddens me. It makes me actually angry at other churches because people say, I've been hurt by the church. The pastor did this. So-and-so did this. A priest did this to me when I was a kid. Whatever that may be. And I'm going to say, that was wrong. There's no justifying it whatsoever. But I want you to move into freedom, into healing, moving forward, and not let that continue to rob you. I mean, think about veterans. I'm very close with veterans in my heart. That veterans come back from combat, and then they're taking their life. 22 veterans a day are committing suicide in the United States. The enemy is still winning even back here. They're not even in combat and they're taking their own life. Satan does the same thing. He stops you. He robs the church of the gifts and the things that you have in you because somebody hurt you, because of an attack of the enemy. And I believe God wants to heal you today. I believe God wants to set you free. And I believe God really wants to do a work in each and every one of us. I'm going to close with this. Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8. Jesus says, "Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received." What have you received? Maybe you haven't received much good, but there is so much good to receive in the church. There's this good news of salvation. The kingdom of heaven is near. There's healing of sickness, of raising the dead. There's healing available. There's freedom from demons. There's freedom from mental illness. There's freedom from addiction. Give as freely as you received. As you receive, give it away. I've received a new life, and I want to help other people walk a new life. I've received freedom from addiction and from prison and from my record and all the stuff in my past. I want to give that away to help other people experience freedom. I've received physical healing. I say, I want you to know that physical healing is available. Mental healing is available. Family is available. Community is available. Those are the things that the church can provide when we, as the church, come together, when we commit and are devoted to one another. Devoted to the Word of God, not the politics, not the preferences. We've got to stop focusing so much on all that stuff and start focusing on the Word of God. If you're not spending as much time on the Word of God as you are on the news or social media, I'm challenging you. Your perspectives and priorities are off. Get back to the Word of God. The Bible app, if you don't have a Bible, I will buy you a Bible. I will give you a Bible. We will get you a Bible, whatever means possible, to help you know where to start reading the Bible. I will help you take your next steps. If you could stand to your feet, I'm going to offer two things. First is very important questions. We talk about who is the church. Are you involved? Are you a part of the church? Not just Freedom Church. Are you a part of the universal church? Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you trusted in him? Have you put your faith in him? Have you said, "Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. Repent of the sins." Just as Peter said, repent means you are going this direction, living your life for you, and now you're going to go this direction. You're going to live for God. You're going to pursue to know God. You're going to learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. If you've never done that, or you know you need to recommit your life to Jesus, I offer you that right now, because that's the only way you can be a part of the church, is simply because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, receiving that gift of salvation. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything other than to say, simply ask him, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that you will be saved. So if we could bow every head, every eye closed, even everyone watching and listening online, I invite you right now in this moment to make sure you know that you are part of the church. It's not a baptism. It's not a membership with an organization. It simply is a posture of your heart saying, "Jesus, I know I've sinned. I give my life to you because of what you did for me. I want to spend eternity in heaven because of my love for you, because of your love that you demonstrated to me on the cross." If you're here today and you know you need to make that decision, maybe for the first time, or maybe you need to make sure you recommit to be a part of the church, don't miss out. Don't wait until you have it all figured out, until you're perfect, because you're never going to be perfect. But take today to be the day that you choose to follow Jesus. So I invite you right now, if there's anybody in the room with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, "That's me, I want to follow Jesus, I want to recommit to Jesus," I just ask you to slip up your hand right where you are, and I'm going to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray for every hand raised, every heart right now. God, that you'd move in their hearts. God, move in their lives. Help them see how valuable, how precious, how beautiful they are, God, because of your son's sacrifice for them. God, that they are worthy because you died for them. That their worth is in your blood, Jesus. Not in what they do, not in how much money they make, but God, simply in the blood that shed for them. That purchase, that price that was paid for them. God, I pray they would take their next steps, that they would get signed up for water baptism. God, they would commit their lives to you fully and totally, that they would be committed to your word and to your local church. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for every single one of us in this room. If you're here today and there's something that you got going on, maybe it's a physical sickness, a physical illness, maybe you have a mental thing going on, some mental illness, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts. Maybe you have a relationship that's broken right now. Maybe you have some offense that you need to forgive. It's not an option of us to forgive. It's our choice, but really we should forgive. It's a command that Jesus said. Maybe just spiritually, you got some hurts from your past, some trauma, some abuse. I believe God wants to heal you today. I want you to submit that thing, just in whatever way. I know it's in your mind, I know it's consuming your thoughts, I ask that you get set free today. I want you to get set free, and I believe God wants to set you free. So I'm just going to pray over every single thing. Every one of us has something we can lift up to God. Heavenly Father, I pray over every single person right now. Every physical illness, every sickness, every disease, every cancer must go in the name of Jesus. That you command, give us the authority and the power over the unclean spirits, over the demonic spirits. We command every evil spirit to go in the name of Jesus. I command sickness to be gone. I pray against cancer. I pray against mental illness, anxiety, depression be gone in Jesus' name. That fear and panic would be gone in Jesus' name. I pray against offense and issues of relationships that need to be restored be gone in Jesus' name. That unforgiveness, we cast it out now in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and fill each and every one of us. God, as we consistently lift up to you, repent of our sins and turn towards you, God, that your Spirit would replace everything that the enemy has tried to put into us. I pray for health and life over every person who needs a physical healing right now. God, I pray for a peace in their minds, for a sound mind, for the anxiety and the racing thoughts and the suicidal thoughts to cease in Jesus' name, and to have thoughts of life, to have thoughts of peace, to have thoughts of joy, to focus on you, God, for how good and how perfect you are. God, I pray for every single person that needs to forgive, God, that they would take that step to truly forgive, to set themselves free from that unforgiveness. God, that there'd be healing in those relationships. Even if their parent passed away years ago, God, I pray for a release of themselves from the captivity of unforgiveness, that we could truly come to a place to forgive our parents, our grandparents. We could forgive somebody that we need to forgive. Maybe you need to forgive a church. You need to forgive a pastor. You need to forgive somebody who hurt you or abused you or did something to you. That you could, God wants to break off those chains that you're carrying around right now. He wants to set you free. So I speak freedom. I speak life. I speak health. And I speak wholeness over each and every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. If you got set free, you're excited for freedom, could you just give your hands, put your hands together. God is good. Amen. You can be seated. Jared, our youth leader, is going to come on up, close us out.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Pastor Eric, for the awesome, awesome word. And we're going to see how much you're paying attention here and online. We are. We are. We are. All right, let's hear it. And very, very glad to be a part of the church with you guys here today. I don't know about you, but I think about it like maybe a TV show series. We're on The Church, Volume 2000, whatever. We're pretty far along. But what I love what Pastor Eric said is that God is the same God in the same exact way. Functionally, we are the same church that was started over 2,000 years ago. And one amazing trait that the early church carried as they realized how big God is and who he is in and through their lives in the book of Acts. I'm just going to reread what Pastor Eric had read. In Acts 2, 42 through 47, all the believers had met together in one place. They shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved. You see, today, in 2026, each and every one of us is a part of that same work that began over 2,000 years ago through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit each and every one of us is participating in God's mission to reach and add people daily to those who are being saved, to be a part of the family of God. And in the same time, in the same way, that we would encounter God, his radical love and generosity towards us, and in response, we would reflect him by being a radically loving and generous people. So with that being said, we have an opportunity to practice what we preach, to put our faith and work that faith muscle by giving, that we ourselves can unite our hearts, be the church, and allow God in a radically generous way to bless others, to reach others through our giving, through the surrender of our lives, and that we would joyfully unite our hearts, unite our lives with one another, and see as many people as possible encounter the same loving God that we've encountered. And we, when we give an opportunity for God to do just that. So I want to say thank you for each and every one of you who have generously and consistently given. Maybe you're here, and a great next step in your faith and your relationship with the Lord is to trust him as provider, to begin to give and say, Lord, whatever your mission is, whatever your purpose is, whatever part I have to play, I'm all in, and I'm going to give to that. There are several ways to give. Cash or check, there is a giving station in the very back of the room. If your bank has Zelle, no fees attached at all. You can actually scan a QR code, give through Zelle. You can also give through freedomchurchmv.com/give. But more than anything we can give, let us be fully aware of what we have freely received. Then we can freely give it all away. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity we have, God, that we are the church. And Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that your spirit, your word, empowers us to reflect you to the world around us, Lord God. I thank you, you've blessed us. You've given us blessings in abundance. Lord, I ask that we would give with hearts of generosity and gratitude, knowing that we are the same church with the same God, same Holy Spirit that's meant and called out to impact the world around us, Lord God. I thank you for family. I thank you that we're united as family, Lord God, that more people would be added, more people would be saved as a result of our lives surrendered to you and in our giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's several opportunities we have to be the church all the more. First and foremost, I just want to say, if you're new here with us, maybe even your very first Sunday, I just want to say welcome and thank you for choosing to spend part of your Sunday with us. We would love to get to know you and keep you up to date with all the awesome things God is doing in and through our church. We just ask that you take out your cell phone, scan the seat back in front of you, that tap card, or scan the screen QR code. Just fill out some information. We'd love to keep you up to date with so many awesome things that are happening. Also, on your way out of the room today at dismissal, we have a gift bag in the back of the room. We want to put in your hands just as our way of saying thank you. We'd love to get to know you. A wonderful opportunity for us just to connect and be the church. Another amazing opportunity to grow our roots and be the church is through Next Steps. And our Next Steps class is taking place today at dismissal, out the hallway to the left. Pastor Eric, we'd love to meet you. You can learn how God has uniquely gifted you to live a life of purpose and impact and family with our local church body. And so we encourage you to attend the Next Steps class. We do have it twice a month. So if you're not able to make it today, there will be two Sundays in May that you can join our Next Steps class. Feel free to scan the QR code and get signed up. And guys, I'm super excited. Another family church event we have coming up is water baptisms. And water, yes, we can give a hand for that. That's exciting. Water baptisms is an awesome family celebration for those of us who have given our lives to Jesus, received the forgiveness of God. A great next step you can take is sign up to be water baptized next Sunday, rather. We're going to have a baptismal tank here, and we get to celebrate with our brothers and sisters who have decided to follow Jesus. It's a great celebration. If you have any questions, you've never been water baptized, I encourage you, scan the QR code and get signed up. Last but certainly not least, an opportunity for family and fellowship for the ladies in Freedom Church at our Coffee and Connect Saturday morning coming up on Saturday, May 9th, 9 through 11 a.m. It'll be a wonderful time for ladies to really do life together, share what's going on in life, and also enjoy some coffee, some yogurt parfaits. It'll be a great time. Men, we can watch the kids. That'll be really good. Have an opportunity for the ladies to get out of the house and enjoy some lady time together. I encourage you, scan the QR code, get signed up so you just know how much coffee and yogurt parfait to prepare for you guys to have a lovely, lovely Saturday coming up. Everybody, can you please stand to your feet? I'm going to pray. Whenever I'm finished, you're dismissed. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that we are the church, God, that we are your plan A for the world, that your Holy Spirit in and through our lives with our hearts united has all the power to overcome the gates of hell, Jesus. We thank you that you said you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, Lord God. I pray that we would be aware of that reality, of the authority you've entrusted to us through your Holy Spirit, through your word. Father, that we would recognize and experience the joy of family, of friendship, of community, God. That we would grow our roots deeper into you and unite our hearts and our lives more deeply with one another. That you would receive all the honor and all the glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great and awesome week, everyone.